to the finishing line. Time, 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds, shattering the 4-minute mile, the Everest of athletic achievement.
In 1954, Roger Bannister became the first person to run the mile in under 4 minutes. Well, this Saturday, three runners will try to break another barrier, running a marathon, 26.2 miles, in under 2 hours, in a special race in Italy. The three elite runners are Zersane Tedese of Eritrea, Lalisa Dasitsa of Ethiopia, and Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge. And right now, the fastest ever marathon is 2 hours, 2 minutes, 57 seconds. And you might be saying, if a man, and we're talking about men here, could run under 2 hours, wouldn't he in the marathons we follow? Well, maybe not. Ed Caesar is the author of 2 Hours, The Quest to Run the Impossible Marathon. He's covering Saturday's race for Wired. There's a hint there. But Ed, talk about why maybe this can't be done in a regular marathon.
I mean, one reason why they may not be able to do it is it may really be beyond the bounds of human physiology to do it.
Right.
But let's say, for instance, that it is possible, and lots of scientists seem to think it is possible physiologically. The things that slow you down in marathons are things like corners, the wrong temperature. Getting into a race, oddly, can often slow you down because your pace is uneven throughout the marathon. And big city marathons are wonderful and joyous events, but they're not always set up in the way that you would set up a marathon if you were just interested in how fast the very top guys could go.
Nike is behind the project. It's called Breaking 2. And it's interesting. They started this project, you found out, a year before you wrote your book about breaking this two-hour mark. So tell us, first of all, how this race is set up.
They're going to run it around a car racing track at Monza, where they race Formula One cars normally. And they're going to go 17 and a half laps around the junior track at Monza. It might sound a little boring to you, but I think it's going to actually be very cool to watch because you're going to see the athletes coming around pretty regularly, whereas in a marathon, you only get to catch them maybe once or twice if you're lucky on the course.
Right. They're going to be protected from wind and elements. They're going to have a lower temperature, so it's cold, so that they don't overheat. Pacemakers might come in and out to pace them, not compete with them, which will change the nature of their running. And we understand that they have been tested, prodded, that Nike has been working on coming up with special, you know, aerodynamic clothing and shoes. I think, do you have the shoes?
I do have the shoes, and they are fairly extraordinary. I have no, you know, I'm not a spokesman for Nike, but, you know, I ran in them a couple of times now, and I'm going to run in them again this weekend. And they do promote a very unusual feeling in a runner. You feel like you're being propelled forward, and that's because of the angles of where your foot sits in the shoe. And you really do whiz along.
Well, you had some questions about the race going into Saturday. You know, it's a big company. Of course, they want it to work. Do you want to make sure there's no doping going in? It feels like there's been a lot of scrutiny of this race. How are you feeling about it? How are you feeling about this, you know, over 2 minutes, 3 minutes being dropped from a world record in potentially in one shot?
I think it is an extraordinary thing to attempt. And there's a lot of risk in it for Nike. And I think they would be happy if someone got close to 2 hours. You'd learn a lot about what people can do under the right conditions. But what I really hope is not so much thoughts about shoes or about what you can do when you set up a marathon in the right way. I want them to understand just how special these athletes are, the human beings, complicated, you know, driven human beings who are trying to do this. You know, that will be a huge victory as far as I'm concerned, because the more you can humanize runners and tell their stories, I think the better the sport becomes.
Do you worry that this somehow takes away from what we know as the marathon, these races that happen around the world and people feel they're a part of it just by standing on the sidelines, and the drama, the stories, the narratives that unfold? You know, can they withstand the heat? Can they withstand that bump on the turn from another runner? Here's the great Australian marathoner Rob Di Castella with some thoughts on, you know, what is the romance of the marathon?
There's no such thing as world records in the marathon. The marathon is unpredictable, it's variable, it has a certain mystique and a romance about it that you can't put in a box and you can't write criteria for, you can't define, and that's the beauty of it.
Ed Caesar, this is something that they're trying to put in a box and they're trying to define. Do you worry about it taking away from what we know as the marathon?
I want the marathon to continue to be really unpredictable, to have great races. You know, I love the traditional marathon, and there's nothing stopping it from continuing. There is also nothing stopping us from doing events like this, one-offs, just to see what the body is capable of. And I think traditionalists have been dismayed by breaking two because they see it as a derogation of the sport. In fact, events like breaking two have always been a part of the sport, and I think they should be celebrated alongside traditional marathons.
Ed Caesar, covering the attempt to run a marathon in 2 hours or less for Wired. It's called the Breaking Two Initiative, scheduled for Saturday in Monza, Italy. Ed, thank you.
Thanks so much.